You know, just like there are essential elements in our physical lives. Take a deep breath. Zach wishes he could take one quite that deep. But you breathe in that nitrogen, you breathe in that oxygen. There are essential elements to our physical lives. There are essential elements that make up everything around us. Everything you see and touch and taste and feel. And everything is made up of basic elements. And I remember as a middle school when I first discovered the periodic table of elements. And then as I got older and I really had an affinity for chemistry. It's a wonder I'm not dead from that. But yes, I had a chemistry lab in my home. I've still got a lot of the equipment and everything. So, you know, if you had that equipment in your home today, the feds would be knocking on your door. But I really got into chemistry. So, you know, you learn all the different elements and, you know, how they interact and stuff and how those elements, the molecules of those elements bond with other molecules and stuff and make up compounds. But essentially what we figured out was that everything is made up of some very simple, basic, essential elements. You know what? In your life and in my life, there are some essential elements. There are some things that you must have. There are some things that you cannot miss. There are some things that you better not do without, or you will find that the things are not going together very well in your life. Now, a lot of times, because we live in a country that has so much available in the way of opportunity, in the way of dreams, I mean, literally, you know, people still come to this country, even with our struggles, even with our internal struggles and financial struggles, people are still trying to get into this country because they know the opportunities, the freedoms that we have are unlike any other country on this planet. And I still believe this is the greatest country in this planet. I love my country. But because of that, many times we feel like that a job, maybe a career, maybe even a family, well, all good things, hobbies and homes and cars, and it seems like we fill our lives with these things many times and thinking those are the things that are going to satisfy us. Those are the things that are going to make us fulfilled and be at peace and enjoy life. But you know as well as I do, you don't get very far into those things till you realize how temporary they can be, because those jobs can get snatched out from under you. You can realize that even the closest relationships that you have, whether with a spouse, whether with parents, whether with siblings or with children, even your closest friends, that even those go through periods of difficulty and challenges. But there are some essential elements that we started looking at 2 weeks ago in this series, elements, that we've been looking in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, that Paul mentions three very foundational elements essential to your life, essential to my life, that he says you better not miss these. As a matter of fact, the whole book of Ephesians kind of circles around these things. When you read it from chapter 1 to chapter 6 in Ephesians, Paul talks about these things over and over and over again. The first week, 2 weeks ago, I talked about the essential element that you were created to be in relationship with God. And I had two words for that point that morning. Two words, simple truth. You belong. You belong. Because a lot of times in our life, we don't feel like it. People are looking for a place to fit in. They're looking for a place they can connect. They're looking for a place to belong. And it may be with a group of extreme coupon shoppers. Man, I've seen that TV show a couple of times. Lord have mercy. I honestly believe they work harder at saving money than I do making money. I'm thinking, in many of those cases, man, you could put in less hours and make more money than you actually save. But it's unbelievable. I actually read a coupon I got in the mail Friday or yesterday or something, and I noticed, I was wondering when it was going to happen. It said, only 4 coupons per visit or per shopping trip allowed. And I thought, yep, that's from extreme couponing. It may be with a group of people that are extreme couponers. It may be a Saturday softball league or a group of people you like to go hunting or fishing with, or a group of friends that you like to hang out with. You know, even the drunk sitting at the bar wants to fit in, wants to connect. It may be sitting there. But the deal is, none of those will ultimately satisfy the basic essential thing that you need, and that is to know that you belong. And we saw 2 weeks ago from Ephesians 2:13 that said, Paul said this, he said, "In Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." I'd love to preach that verse one more time again today, but I better not. Because I'm telling you what, I was far away. I was far away from God. I was far away from God. And His love and His grace and His mercy chased after me and brought me near to Him. And you, and many of you sitting in this room, can testify to that in your own life, that you were far away and you've been brought near. You belong. Man, you need to know that. People are dying every day just craving someplace to fit in. Craving. Someone said the greatest gift you can ever give to someone is a place to belong. And when you see the great lengths people will go to, whether in the good ways, where they get involved in clubs and civic organizations and social groups that make an enormous impact in their communities, or whether in the farthest negative ways in a gang that causes violence and terrorizes neighborhoods and traffics and drugs and traffics and people. People will go to great lengths just to belong, just to fit in. How great is it to know that you belong in a relationship with God? And then last week, I talked about the fact that Paul brings out in Ephesians 2 that you were made, God made you for a purpose. Two words there: you matter. You matter. People want to know their life has a purpose. That all this stuff that they're going through makes sense to someone. That someone has got their hands on the throttle of time and human events and is coordinating this effort to bring it about for good. Because not everything looks good in our life. Not everything that we experience that comes into and through our life feels good, looks good, experiences well. But it's great to know that God made you for a purpose, that truly you matter. I'm going to tell you, I wish I could go into every classroom of every school, to every student, not only in this county, but in the ones around it, this entire state and this nation, and tell every single one of those students, look them in the eye and scream to the top of my lungs, your life matters. You're not just a number. You're not just 1 in 7 billion. You are uniquely, individually created, and your life matters. It has meaning and purpose, and don't let anyone else tell you otherwise. Our students need to hear that. And we've got many teachers here at Genesis, and I am so proud to know there are teachers that are in our schools that are bold enough, that stand, that don't just preach and swing a Bible, but actually invest in the lives of our students and remind them that God loves them. Remind them consistently that they were not an accident. They are not some coincidence. That God has a purpose for them. That their life matters. That they should dream big for their own life, because God created them for something great. They matter. Paul said this in Ephesians 2:10. He said, we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's what we talked about. That was our verse we looked at in Ephesians 2 last week and saw, hey, what? Your life matters. It has meaning, purpose behind it. What's going on in your life? God is working behind the scenes, because He has a plan for you. Man, that was so encouraging last week. But I want us to step into this last part this morning that Paul really talks about in Ephesians 2. And this is kind of the hinge pin, if you will, of what we've been talking about from Ephesians 2, about the fact that you belong, about the fact that you matter. I want you to know this morning that your life was designed to bring glory to God. I don't care where it started, how long ago. For some of us, it was longer than others. I don't care how long ago it started. But when you came onto this earth, you were designed to bring glory to God. I don't care what the circumstances in which you were born, you were designed to bring glory to God. I don't care what state, city, county, country that you were born in, you were designed to bring glory to God. You were designed to bring God glory. Listen, I want to read two verses in Ephesians 2, and this is what I want us to focus on this morning. Ephesians 2, 6, listen to what it says. It says, Paul says, God raised us up with Christ, seated us up with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that, in other words, here's the purpose, here's the reason, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Listen to that last verse again in verse 7. In order that, why did He raise us up? Why did He give us new life? Why did He come to save us? Why did He die on the cross? In order that in the coming ages, in the future, in God's plan, that He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. In other words, your life was designed to bring God glory, period. You are on this earth to bring God glory in every area and every aspect of your life. Everywhere you go, everywhere you are, every person you think you are was designed to bring glory to God. The psalmist said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything, do you realize that everything in all of creation, especially God's pinnacle of creation, humanity, was designed to bring Him glory, period. It's all about Him. It's all about magnifying Him. It's all about bringing praise to Him. It's all about bringing glory to Him. And I know if you are like me, that you are sitting there thinking, I can tell you about a dozen things right off the top of my head in my own life. How in the world can that bring God glory? Because a lot of times when we think about the fact that our life is designed to bring God glory, what automatically comes up in our life are objections. Yeah, but what about... Yeah, what about this? What about that? We have some obstacles, if you will. There's some common obstacles that must be overcome to fulfill our destiny. There's some common obstacles and challenges that you and I must be overcome for us to fulfill that destiny of bringing God glory. You say, okay, I got a to-do list. Let me work on this to-do list. I want to talk about three very simple things that are many times the greatest obstacles for us bringing glory to God. And when I get done with these things, I dare say every person in this room will be able to identify with what I'm talking about. Either one of these, or if you're like me, all three of them. But the common obstacles that you and I must overcome to fulfill our destiny. Number one is our past performance. You know, I don't know about you, but I look at back in my life and I go, man, what some stupid things I've done. Man, what some idiot decisions I've made. You just cannot imagine the things I've done in my past. You cannot imagine the decisions. I know you're sitting there, maybe some of you are sitting there going, you know, how can I bring glory to God? Look at this in my past. Look at what I did when I was this age. Look at what I did this time in my life. How in the world can I bring glory to God? I've messed up. You don't know what I've done. You're right, I don't know what you've done. But you don't know what I've done either. Praise God. We'll just keep that amongst ourselves. Here's the deal. We all can look back in our past. We all can look backwards and say, in the rearview mirror of my life, there are some things behind me that there's no way that my life can bring glory to God. There's no way that my life can fulfill. I might as well just quit and give up. Let me tell you something. Satan is whispering in your ear, look at what you did last week. There's no way you can stand there and sing. Our God is greater. Don't you know what you did last night? Satan is there whispering, trying to discourage you. He is trying to throw your past up, saying, well, what about this? Don't raise your hand. Don't praise Him. What are you praising Him for? You know what you've done. Let me tell you something. God, your past performance, my past performance, one of the greatest obstacles. Our past is one of the greatest obstacles to overcome for us to fulfill our ultimate destiny of bringing God glory. I'll tell you what, in just a few minutes, we're going to have some church. I'm telling you. You need to bear with me through these three things, though. Our past performance can be one of them. Number two, our present circumstances. Whew. You know, people say this, when my life is better, and all the stars align, everything's perfect, I can bring God glory. We look at our present circumstances. We look at the situation we're in. We say, how can God be glorified through this? I just lost somebody I love. How can God be glorified through that? I just lost my job. How can God be glorified through that? My relationship with my family is crumbling. How can God be glorified through that? My present circumstances will not allow me to bring glory to God. I just kind of have to sit on the sidelines and watch everybody else. I just kind of have to be a spectator and see everybody else. There's no way my present circumstances can allow me to glorify God. There's no way. It can't happen. Maybe you're experiencing something in your life. Maybe you've experienced something recently in your life that has still got a stranglehold on you, that is screaming in your ear. How can you glorify God in your life when you're suffering through this? When you're having to face this challenge? How can you glorify God in your life? So our past performance, our present circumstances. But I want you to see number three, our future potential. When I have a better, and this is what we say to ourselves, when my attitude's a little better, when my outlook on life is a little better, then I can praise God. That's what we think. When I have a little hope, I can start praising God. Right now, the future is kind of dim. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. I mean, there's just so many things that are just not right. I really don't have any vision for my future. I don't have any real hope. I'm just not really passionate about my future. I just don't know what's going on. I don't have a clue what's about to take place. So there's no way I can glorify God. I mean, just think about my future potential. Maybe if something would break loose. Maybe if a couple of the clouds would separate in the sky of my life and just a little sun ray would shine down on my life, maybe something good would happen. Maybe I wouldn't have backed into that telephone pole Friday night and dented the side of my truck and my outlook was a little better. If that hadn't happened, and that happened to me Friday night, oh, by the way. Maybe if that hadn't happened, I'm telling you, when that happened, I felt like such an idiot. Because I'm my hardest critic. I looked in my rearview mirror, I looked in my side mirror, I backed up to pull out from a parallel parking, and I scraped the side of a telephone pole that I didn't see in either mirror. And it flattened the side of my bed of my truck. And I was like, man, you are so stupid, buddy. And I thought for a minute, you know, this is just going to ruin my night. Now, granted, we just left Month for Presents Fall Festival, hung out with my son for a couple hours, just having a good time. You know, and for a split second, I was just sick to my stomach. And I looked at that 7-year-old sitting in the seat next to me, and I thought, I've got no cause to be upset. It's sheet metal. It is not going to affect my eternal destiny. I am not going to let this keep me. I mean, I could have got an ordinary, and I'll promise you, that was only a good day, because normally I would have been depressed for 2 weeks over that. Amen. But here's the deal. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? How you, if you just had a little break, if something would go your way, if you could walk into McDonald's and you get a break today, then maybe I could praise God. Maybe my life could bring glory to God if I just get a break somewhere. Meanwhile, we sit on the sidelines of life. It keeps going, keeps going, it keeps going. And we're empty. And we're not fulfilling our destiny. And we feel unfulfilled and dissatisfied. If I left with those three things this morning, we would all leave here pretty depressed, pretty discouraged. Well, I can't overcome my past. I mean, I can't. All, you know, if I just said, you know what, your homework today is go home, work on overcoming your past performance, work on your present circumstances, get a better outlook for the future and for your future, and then you can start glorifying God with your life. You'd leave here depressed, discouraged, and just give up. You may not shatter the doorstep of a church for another 20 years. And you would be right in doing so. But thank God. Thank God that the story doesn't end there. Thank God that God's word is faithful, that He is faithful, His promises are true, and will be fulfilled. Listen to those verses in verse 6 and 7 again. Listen to him closely. He says, look, God raised us up with Christ Jesus, seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. God has already accomplished those three things I just mentioned for us. He has already overcome our past. He is already working in behind the scenes of our present circumstances. He already has a future in store for us. God, it's not for us to go home and have homework to overcome our past, to get a better outlook for our future and straighten out some things in our present circumstances. God has already accomplished those things for you. Let me tell you something this morning. It says in this, listen to Ephesians 2:5. It says, He made us alive with Christ. In other words, He conquered our sin. And if you go back to Ephesians 2:1, when we talked about this 2 weeks ago, about the fact that we are dead in sins, dead in our transgressions and sins. God made us alive with Christ. He took care of that past performance. It says in Ephesians 2:6, God raised us up with Christ. Just as Christ was raised up from the dead, out of the tomb of His present death, so you have been raised up with Him out of your present circumstance and situation. Listen to Ephesians 2:6 again. It says, And seated us with Him in the heavenly realms. Let that sink in. Seated, you have been, if you are in Christ, you have been seated with Him, with Christ, in the heavenly realms. Let me tell you something this morning. If you want to see where you stand with God, if you want to know where you stand with God, let me tell you for just a moment. Go outside for just a moment. In order for you to see, look up in the sky, look around you. In order for you to see where you are at with God, where you are at with Christ, in your relationship with Christ, you would have to go past the highest mountaintops on this planet. You would have to go past the clouds in the sky, up past the upper stratosphere, past the radiation belts that girdle this globe, past the planets in our solar system, even that little excommunicated planet Pluto. You would have to go past our nearest star, Alpha Centauri, if I'm not mistaken. You would have to go past the farthest reaches of our galaxy, the Milky Way. You would have to go past the farthest stars and the darkest voids of this universe to the place where space, time, and matter cross over into the realm of the eternal and to the spiritual. Up to the gates that surround the city of God. Through those gates, up to the highest pinnacle of the throne of God, where God sits in His majesty, right there is where you are this morning if you know Christ. You are seated with Him. I got a great news for you this morning. How about that thought? How's that for a thought? All of these statements that you are made alive in Christ, raised up with Christ, seated with Him, these three are in the grammatical first aorist active indicative. Every grammar student in here went, I know what that is. Everyone else went, what are you talking about? First aorist active indicative. You know what that means, simply put? It's already done. It's already accomplished. It has already happened. You see, we tend to think of in our past, well, one of these days I'm going to get past my past. No, I got news for you. If you know Christ, God has already conquered your past. God has already overcome your past. God has already buried your past. You say, well, what about my present situation? God raised us up with Christ. In other words, you have already, just as Jesus was raised up out of that tomb in that present situation of death, you have been raised up with Him right now in your present situation. And the greatest part of that is that you have been seated with Him in the heavenly realms. Lord, have mercy. If you're in Christ, you are already seated in heaven. That ought to free you up for about your future. That ought to free you up about what your future. You want some hope? You know what God has to see in order to look at you if you know Christ? He has to look at Jesus Himself. He doesn't see my past sin. He doesn't see my current situation and circumstances. He doesn't see what I may or may not can or will do in the future. What God sees is His very own Son. He has, if you're in Christ, He has to look through the blood of His Son to see you. In other words, every time God looks at you, He sees Jesus in perfect righteousness. My gosh, that ought to free us up this morning. That ought to give us, to, you know, if my life's destiny is to glorify God. And the only thing keeping me from fulfilling that destiny is my past, my present, and my future. And God says He's already taken care of that. Then what's stopping me? What's stopping me from bringing Him glory? What's stopping me from praising Him right now, glorifying Him right now, right where I'm at, right in this situation? Because no matter how much Satan lies to me and says, this is never going to get better, your life is never going to get better, you're always going to feel this way, God's right there saying, are you kidding me? I've already taken care of this. I want you to live in the reality of what I've already done, not what you used to do. I want you to live in the reality that I've already accomplished this, not where you're sitting right now. I want you to live in the reality of where I've seated you. You're sitting right beside me right now. The only difference is that you're there, and this is your future. It's already accomplished. It's already done. It is already taken care of. We're fretting, and I do it. I promise you, I'm guilty of this as much as anyone in this room. Fret and go, oh my gosh, how's this going to work out? How's this going to come together? And if we could just get these pieces together and get this together and this would work out and all of this. And the whole time God's saying, look, I've already done that. I want you to start walking in the reality of what I've already done. Let me tell you something this morning. The only clause, the only, if you will, exception that is taken here, when I read those two verses, if you notice that he made the statement three times, the only clause for this, to experience this in our life, is found in the statement, in Christ. Do you notice how many times he said that? Three times in two verses. And if you read the book of Ephesians, you read the book of Philippians, you read the book of Colossians, all written by Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he uses that statement in Christ over and over and over and over again. You know what that says? I love it. He doesn't say in church. He didn't say in church you can fulfill this. He didn't say in baptism you can fulfill this. He didn't say in religion you could fulfill this. He didn't say in confirmation or in good deeds. Not even being in ministry. You can fulfill this. And you can experience this. He says, in Christ. In other words, it is only hinged upon a relationship with Christ. You know, some people, they won't give their life to Christ because they feel like they could never live up to the standard. Because they know what they've done in the past. And they just don't feel like their life right now is doing much better. They don't feel like in the future they're going to improve any, so why bother? And the whole time, all of that is wrapped up only in a relationship with Christ. In Christ, when you realize, you know what, God has already done this for me. He has already made me alive with Him. He's already raised me up. We sang a while ago, out of the ashes, I will rise. Lord, have mercy. That is the story of every believer. Out of the ashes. Out of the rubble. Out of the garbage that everyone else says, just throw it away, it's just garbage. It's out of those situations that God raises up those to bring Him glory. It's out of that. You know why? It's because He gets all the credit for it. I don't get to claim anything. All I say is, I am in Christ. And because I'm in Christ, I've been made alive with Him. Because I'm in Christ, I've been raised up with Him. Because I'm in Christ, I am seated in heaven right now. There's nothing I have to do to prove to God that I deserve this. There's nothing I have to do for God or in God's presence to say, well, I get here and suddenly I get to this level and I will accomplish and God, You will accept me. No, in Christ, it's already done. Let me tell you something. If your salvation, if your eternity, and your eternal destiny is not secure here, it's because it's not secure in heaven. Big difference. If it is secure in heaven, then guess what? It is secure here. Most people think that they get salvation when they die. In other words, hey, when I die, suddenly I go to heaven. And suddenly I'm secure. Let me tell you something. The angels fell from heaven. A third of them. So if you're not secure here, you're not going to be secure there either. What you and I have to realize, what we have to grasp and tell ourselves every day is if I am in Christ, this has already been done. This financial challenge in my life, if I'm in Christ, then I know that God can work through this. Even if I'm one that made the dumb decision to get myself here in the first place. That if I give it to Him, say, not God straighten out my mess so I can go back to the way I was, but God, I've made a mess. I'm giving it to You. I'm just going to follow You through it. And there's sometimes in your life and in my life, that's exactly what we have to do. I'm a little excited this morning. I've lived this all week waiting for this morning. Because I'm telling you what, God wore me out this week with this. I had to check myself a bunch of times because I had been studying this passage, reading this, understanding this, knowing what I was going to share, what God wanted me to share this morning. And God was saying, look at how you're doing it. You're not faring so well with this yourself. So I was reminded myself, the more, let me tell you something. In creation, you go outside and look around you. In creation, the more, you know, God displayed his wisdom and his power. He did. The more we learn about astronomy and physics and chemistry and biology, and I loved all those things in school, medicine. Man, we've got some in the medical field here at Genesis. The more you learn about those things, the more you see the intricate detail, the infinite wisdom, the power of God in creation. And in the stage of creation, on the stage of the creation around us, God displayed his infinite power and his wisdom. But it's on the stage of redemption and salvation that God, in the face of our sin, demonstrated not just his grace, according to Paul right here, not just the riches of his grace, as Paul said, but the incomparable, incalculable, if you have a King James, I think it says exceeding riches of his grace. It wasn't enough he just gave us grace. He gave us rich grace. It wasn't enough that he gave us rich grace. He gave you incalculable, incomparable, exceeding, excessive, over-the-top grace. I was walking in a store yesterday getting some stuff for the bonfire stuff we had last night. And they had a sign on the door. They sold lottery tickets. It says the lotto drawing tonight, or the lottery drawings tonight, is $203 million. And I'm not going to act, I've never bought a lottery ticket, I'll say that, but I'm not going to act like I didn't walk in there and go, God, I just want one. I'll give the other 202 to you. You know, trying to make a deal. Don't look so spiritual at me. I got bills and debt just like you do. I'm no different. But here's the deal. Warren Buffett and his billions. Steve Jobs. And all of their possessions, their power, their creative genius, their insight, their wisdom. And they're two incredible men. Was one, still is another. Just brilliant businessmen. Visionaries. I think Warren Buffett said this past week it could solve the deficit in our country in 5 minutes. And I don't doubt that he could. But in all of that, in all that they have, contain, and possess, it's not even a speck compared to what God did for you when he gave his son on the cross. He bankrupted heaven for you. It's done. It's accomplished. You can take that past mess up, that past performance, you can throw it away, walk away, put it under the blood of Christ. Whatever you're facing today, whatever circumstances, it's just got a stranglehold on your life. God's already accomplished it. He's done raised you up. It's done. Whatever the bleak feelings that you have and the lack of hope for your future, let me tell you something. I can tell you what your future is because it's already done if you know Christ. Future seated in the heavenly realms right now with Christ. It's done. Quit trying to earn God's love and his favor. In Christ, you already have it. Start living out the reality of that. That is our challenge every day. Let me tell you something. According to this passage I just read, verse 7, you're a trophy. You're a trophy. You're a trophy of grace. You know what people do with trophies, don't you? They put them out where everybody can see them. Now, when I was in school, I only played a few sports, and I didn't excel at any of them. I know that shocks you. I didn't. I played a little bit of football in junior high and played golf. Didn't really excel at either one of them too well. I did get to start as a varsity golf player, though, in the eighth grade. That was pretty cool. You make the varsity team in the eighth grade. I think it was just because they were desperate for players. But, and I didn't win many trophies. I'll have to say, I don't have hardly any trophies. I got a few, though. I have no idea where they are. They're probably still at my mom's house somewhere. But I remember the handful of little trophies I had those suckers displayed. I had one trophy from junior high football one year for sportsmanship. You know why you get the sportsmanship trophy, don't you? You stink so bad, everybody feels sorry for you. Oh, I got injured a couple times that year. One time on the playing field, and one time in a in a dirt bike accident. And so I was just up and down all year, and I guess the team felt sorry for me, so they gave me a sportsmanship trophy. But that's the biggest trophy I had. Put that sucker out there. Trophy! I had a trophy from when I was in the first grade. There was a school. It's not open anymore, Woodlawn Baptist Academy. Some of you know it. I was Mr. Woodlawn in first grade. Claim to fame. I won the science fair one year. I told you I liked chemistry. I did. I won the science fair. Me and my best friend won best of show in the Mid-South Science Fair one year. I won't tell you what it was for, but... Trophies, ribbons, you know, show them off. I've got good friends. My best friend who won the science fair with me, he was an excellent athlete. He was 6'5" in the ninth grade. He drove, when we were in the eighth grade, he had a hardship license. We drove to school together in eighth grade. I mean, he was captain of the football team, captain of the basketball team. I mean, incredible athlete, won trophies, several trophies a year and everything. And, of course, you know, I had my handful and was proud of those. Had my letterman jacket with my letters on it and stuff like that. Put those things on display, don't you? God has trophies. You say, yeah, isn't that like, you know, Abraham and Noah and Moses and Hannah and Gideon, all those people, the apostles, they're gone. You're still here. You're the trophies of today. When God displays his work, he does it in your life. You're the trophy that God is displaying. The place you work at, God set a trophy of his grace right there in front of everybody. People you go to school with, the people that you're at school with, God set a trophy there. It's you. Says, this is what my grace looks like. This is how great my love is. This is how what I can do in a person's life. It's your marriage that's a trophy of God's grace. It says, look at them, not because of what they've done, but because what I have done in their life and through their life. You are the trophy this morning that God says, this is what my grace looks like to this world. He sets you on display and says, look what I did in her life. Look how I raised her up out of that. Look what I did for him. Look how I worked in that young man's life. Look how I worked in that child's life. Look what I have done. You are trophies of grace. God has put you on display. Our sin, my sin was an occasion for God to show how great his grace is. Our present circumstances are an opportunity in this moment for God's grace to show how rich it is, even when we are poor and empty. And our future is God's opportunity to show how incomparable, incalculable, excessive, and endless his grace is, as it can restore hope to any person and any situation, to any future. Trophies of grace. Paul said, he raised us up. He made us alive. Seated us with the heaven in the heavenly realms with him. So that in the coming ages, he might showcase the incomparable riches of his grace. I want you to understand one thing when we leave here this morning. You were made for worship. You were made for worship. God created you to worship Him. And I promise you, all over this globe, whether they know the name of Christ, every single person on this planet worships something or someone. Every culture has something it worships. Every people, every group has something it idolizes and worships. Every individual worships something. You remember what the hinge pin is? For us to experience that glorifying power of God in our life on display, for God to work, for us to bring glory to His life, it's whether we are in Christ. In Christ. Your past is taken care of. In Christ. The circumstances you're in right now, God's at work behind the scenes. In Christ. That future you've been dreading, you're already seated with Him. It's all about being in Christ. You belong in a relationship with Him. Your life matters. And you were made for worship. Three essentials you better not leave without. You better not lose sight of in your life. It's all about being in Christ. I want to ask you to bow your heads for just a moment. I just want to give you an opportunity here this morning. Actually, two opportunities. The first opportunity I want you to understand this morning is you have an opportunity to be in Christ. You say, how does that work? I don't know what you mean by being in Christ. I mean having a relationship with Him. I don't mean about being in a denomination. I don't mean about being Baptist, Pentecostal, Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian. I mean not being baptized. I don't mean having your life confirmed. I'm talking about being in an intimate, personal relationship one-on-one with the Lord of this universe. You say, I'm not sure how to do that. Very simply this morning, give your life to Him. Give your life to Him. What is it that's holding you back? If God can take care of your past, if God can take care of our present, and God has secured our future, what's holding us back? What is keeping you from giving your life to Him? Right now, right in this very intimate moment, just give your life to Him. Just begin to pray to Him quietly in your heart. Just call out to Him. Just say, God, I know that You love me this morning. I know that You gave Your Son on the cross to pay the penalty of my sin. God, I ask You to forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. God, the best way I know how, I give my life to You. Lord, thank You for hearing my prayer this morning. Thank You for saving me, changing me this morning. Thank You for giving me a new beginning today. Now, I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I just want to encourage you, and I want to pray for you. If you prayed a very simple prayer like that, and you truly meant it, and you truly gave your life to Him, I got the greatest news in all the world. Everything you ever thought, said, done, gone, wiped away. You've got a brand new beginning with God this morning. A brand new start with Him. A relationship. So that those things I talked about a few moments ago are reality in your life. If you prayed that prayer, something like it, you committed your life to Him for the first time, or maybe for the first time in your life, you meant that prayer. I want you to do me a favor. Just slip your hand up. Just raise your hand. Say, Bodie, I prayed that prayer. I ask Him into my life this morning. Anyone? God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you, man. Anyone else? In Christ. You are in Christ. You prayed that prayer, you meant it, you're in Christ. Secure. In a relationship. God just raised you up, made you alive with Christ, and seated you in heaven just now when you asked Him into your life. You belong to Him. Those things that are haunting you in your past, they're gone. They're taken care of. They're under the blood of Christ. Those things in your life right now, you don't see how they're going to work out. You don't know why you should praise God in the middle of them. Right now, you have the authority of the Word of God in Christ to praise God, to give Him glory in your life, to say, I don't understand this. I don't know how it's going to come out, but I know I'm going to stand. I'm going to let God be glorified in my life. I'm going to worship Him. I was made for worship. I don't know how my future is going to be. I don't know how long it's going to last. How many days I have, what I'm going to have, what I'm going to accomplish, but I know one thing, God has already secured my future. My eternity is with Him. That's done, that's settled. Now I can live wide open for Him. Nothing holding you back, nothing hindering you, nothing restraining you any longer from giving Him glory in your life. Quit looking for the sunlight in the sky. You have the authority of the God of this universe that says, I have secured it. I have provided it. I've already accomplished that for you. Now go live in the reality of it. There's some of you here this morning. Maybe I want to give a second invitation. Some of you here this morning, you're letting some things in your life right now cripple you, hold you back. I'm going to just ask you boldly, just get up out of your seat, come down here, get on your face before God, make this a holy altar. Just get out of your seat right now. Come give Him that. It may be something you did in the past, this week or last month. Come get on your face. Give it to Him once and for all. It may be something you're facing at this moment that you don't know how it's going to work out, but you need to give it to Him. It's done and settled. Come get up out of your seat. Come down here. Get on your face. We have service pastors standing right here that want to come down and pray with you and encourage you. I'm telling you, just get up right now. Maybe you're facing something in the future that you have no clue how to overcome it. I'm telling you this morning, you just celebrate in it. Say, God, I don't know how You're going to work this out. I don't know how You're going to straighten this out, but I know that I can trust You through every bit of it because of what You've already done. You've already displayed Your love for me on the cross. You've already given me the riches of grace, the incalculable, excessive riches of grace in Christ. And I have claimed that relationship this morning. I'm standing in that relationship and I'm giving You that future that I have hope because You've secured it. I have a future because You have secured it. I have a promise because You are faithful. Just get up out of your seat right now. Just come down here. Don't wait for anything. Don't look around. I'm telling you, sitting in the middle of a road, just scoot somebody out of the way. They won't care. Come down here. Get on your face right now. Respond to God. Just give it to Him. Quit letting it cripple you and paralyze you. It's keeping you from your destiny of glorifying God in your life. Shed it. Strip yourself of it. You have the authority of the Word of God to do so this morning. You have His eternal promise.